The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
All right, let's move away from the COVID-19 racial division and the things that have consumed us for several days. Sadly, I'm not moving on to something more lighthearted or cheery. In fact, I want to move on to something really tragic for two reasons. I have in front of me the story of another pastor who has committed suicide. Now, this is not an epidemic. Pastors are not killing themselves, daily or anything like that. But in the last 4 to 5 years, I've been in ministry for more than 50 years. In the last 4 to 5 years, I have seen, read, heard about more pastors taking their own lives than ever before. So again, is it an epidemic? Probably not. Is it on the rise? Absolutely. So here's the first thing I want to say. Pray for your pastor. I have a deep heart for pastors. I was senior pastor for 25 years, been in local church ministry for nearly 50 years. I love the local church. I love pastors, and pastors are under enormous stress. Unless you have been a pastor, it's almost impossible for you to comprehend or understand the stress, the pressure. And I think it continues to get worse and worse as more and more is demanded of pastors. As we move into more technology, pastors have more demands on them to be technologically savvy, to be up with the times and so forth. And I hope no one takes this wrong, but as more and more pastors are appearing online, on TV, and so forth, with incredible talent, ability, and, even looks, the local pastor has increased expectations. Their congregation expects their pastor to preach like John MacArthur or Andy Stanley or Joel Osteen. I'm no fan of Joel Osteen, but with the more visibility online, internet, YouTube, and just TV, more expectations are heaped upon pastors of local churches. And so I honestly believe the pressure is getting worse. And we are seeing more pastors quit out of discouragement. I should have looked up the current statistics. I won't give them because I don't have the current ones. But every month, you would be absolutely shocked at how many pastors leave the ministry permanently. Just hang it up and say, I'm tired, I'm done, I'm out of here. It's a shocking number of pastors. An overwhelming majority of pastors say that they feel discouragement. They feel pressure. And so anyway, please pray for your pastor. Please support your pastor. Please don't expect a perfect pastor. Please love your pastor. You know, October is Pastor Appreciation Month. Don't wait to October to show your pastor how much you appreciate him. Make sure your pastor knows you appreciate him and make sure you're not expecting everybody else to do it. So that's first, okay? But here's the second. This pastor, 40 years old, pastor of a church in North Carolina, took his own life. This past weekend. It was this past weekend he took his own life. Again, 40 years old, married, children. And here is what looks like led to his suicide. There was a credible allegation of sexual abuse against the pastor from a 17-year-old male member of the church. The chairman of the deacons, in cooperation with a statement from local police, said that the allegations were, quote, credible of sexual abuse against the pastor, 17-year-old boy. And obviously, we can't just assume anything, but it would lead you to believe that possibly the allegations were indeed credible, and this pastor could not face the scrutiny, the legal aspects, the shame, the humiliation, his family, and so he took his life. At least that is the preliminary results from police investigations and so forth. Now, my first point, love your pastor, support your pastor, encourage your pastor. Here's my second point. Sin has terrible consequences. Sin has terrible consequences. The devil tries to make us believe that you won't get caught, you'll get away with it, nobody will find out. The devil tempts you. And then when you finally surrender to the temptation, the devil then comes and loads you with condemnation. And something that I say constantly on my program, you're going to get caught. I've said this to men. Hey, if you're having an affair, you're going to get caught. Women, if you're having an affair, you're going to get caught. And when you do get caught, there's going to be the shame, the humiliation, the obvious consequences. If you're dealing with pornography, as an astounding percentage of Christians struggle with porn, you're going to get caught. And when you do get caught, the consequences, the humiliation, the hurt that you will cause to your spouse, to your children, your family, to other believers, don't ever forget. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Sin has horrible consequences. My heart goes out to this church in Conway, North Carolina. My heart goes out to this man's family. I don't know whether he did what he is accused of doing, but he thought that he could not bear it, he could not face it, and took his own life. And sadly, he had legal problems in the past. Similar allegations in the past, and the church hired him, simply overlooking the past because they thought he had dealt with it. Any way you slice it, it's just horribly sad. So, two take-homes from this tragic story. Love your pastor. Pray for your pastor. And by the way, pray that your pastor would be delivered from temptation. Pastors are not above temptation. Do you ever pray that your pastor would be given strength to stand against temptation? Make that a part of your prayer life for your pastor. And then secondly, for all of us, for everyone, don't ever underestimate the consequences of sin. All right, we're going to take the final break of the hour. Sonia in Delaware, Ohio, is waiting patiently online. We'll come to Sonia when we come back. If you'd like to try to get in before we get off the air, if you call right now, I will do my best to get you on the air. We'll return.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
And welcome back to Bob Burney Live. Thank you for joining me. And again, to our friends in Tampa, I am hoping, and I know you are hoping, that Bill Bunkley will be back on the air tomorrow. Please pray for him. Pray that God will restore his health, and this knee injury will be something easily treated, and he'll be back on the air with you very, very soon. You folks in Tampa are indeed privileged to have someone like Bill Bunkley on the air, and it's my honor to have occasionally guest hosted and simulcast the programs. All right. Well, my day always gets a little brighter when I look on the caller screen and I see that Preston in Cincinnati has called. Hey, Preston, how are you, my brother?
I'm great, Bob. How you doing?
I am blessed. I am blessed. Yeah. And grateful for the opportunity to talk to you today. What's on your mind?
Well, I heard Pastor Jim earlier, and I think he has his hand on the pulse of what's going on in the world.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
I went back and started reading Acts as Pentecost and how the church started. And even in turbulent times, the Christian's word was to get the word out and to stay in your lane and do your job regardless of what's going on around you. And I just think that ought to be the focus of the church. It's not about skin color. It's about sin color. And sin is just running rampant. And it seems like the enemy is getting a victory. But as we get more courage and we get bold, we'll get on track and do what he called us to do. Rapture could be any day just as quick as this virus came. Rapture could be just as quick. And we just want to be in the right place when that does take place.
Yeah, that's so true, Preston. And you're right. The answer is the gospel. You know, we're having this discussion, that town hall, this and that. Churches, and you said it probably better than I could, churches need to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ because that is what unites us. And if we can get back, you know, Preston, like I said, I grew up in Compton, California, but I was taught in Sunday school, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. What a profound truth, Preston, that I was taught as a child. You know?
Yeah. And you know, when a person dies, even the fellow that was killed by the police, and when a soul dies and goes to be in front of the Lord, save the lost. He's not going to be concerned about what the skin color was. There's a soul that's going to heaven and going to hell.
Yeah.
And, you know, so this race fight that we're fighting I think we're raised with it from things of the past. Mm-hmm. But when we come to Christ, it ought to be altogether different. We're brothers in Christ, and He unites us. And you know, it's just sad the way that I see the things go with the church. You know, and they try to, I guess the enemy is involved and try to make you choose sides.
But sure, sure.
If you stay focused and share the gospel and stand on the gospel, you always get the victory.
And that's why. Did you watch any of the funeral service today?
I watched a couple of minutes of it.
Okay.
Yeah, just a little bit.
That's why I was so heartsick listening to Al Sharpton.
I don't listen to him.
Because there was no message of unity at all. There was no message of in Christ we are one. It was a message of us against you, white against black, black against white. We have been mistreated, and they have always mistreated us, and us against them. There was nothing about Jesus Christ uniting us and making us one in the body of Christ. And what an opportunity to have given the nation a message of reconciliation. Because, Preston, that's part of our Christian ministry. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, the New Testament says.
Well, and He also told us, too, that there'd be false prophets.
And
if we would read our Bibles and just follow what the Bible has to say, not so much follow a man, but follow the Word, that just keeps us, when you hear the false, you know it's false, you turn away from it.
Yeah.
When you know it's true, like the things Pastor Jim said that they talk about Jerusalem.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
Things happening over there, that's going to change the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to stay focused on that Word more than anything else. These are turbulent times now.
They are turbulent times, and I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am glad, Preston, you and I, you know, we may not have the same color of skin, but brother, we got the same color of blood, and the blood of Jesus Christ has made us brothers. And I'm grateful for your, you know, you and I have never met in person, have we?
No, we haven't.
But you and I fellowship together when you call.
We do.
And I appreciate you, brother. I really do. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. God bless you.
God bless you.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Goodbye.
Bye. Ah, what a way to end the program. We are one in Christ. That's the message that the world needs to hear. That's what the church needs to be proclaiming. What good does it do to go back, deal with the past, We don't ignore the past. We don't pretend that it didn't happen. Of course not. But we can be consumed with the nasty past. We can be consumed with a sweet by and by. But we can understand that Christ is the answer for the nasty now and now. Yeah, He is the answer. Thank you so very, very much for joining me. I hope you have a wonderful evening. But wherever you go and whatever you do, remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.